somebody today. Lord Jesus, Father, we just we consecrate this time to you this day. God, we love this time of year, God, when everything's starting to bloom. God, it's such a reminder that you make all things new. God, that you're always about the business of restoration. Every year, every month, every day, every minute, God, that you're restoring us. And God, we just confess today, Father, that we are in need. God, that we need you. God, that we can't walk without you. God, that we need your Spirit walking with us. God, would you just right now, Father, would God just clear our minds of all distractions, of all fears. God, of anything, God, that's going to distract us or keep us from hearing your voice today. God, we pray against condemnation. God, we pray against fear of scarcity. God, we just surrender to you today, God, because you are worthy, because you are a good father, and we are good sons and daughters because you said so. And God, we just confess today that you change everything. Lord, I confess, bowing here, I find without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my right. Righteousness, oh God, how I need you. Where sin runs deep, your grace is more. Where grace is found, is where you are. And where you are, Lord, I am free and holy.
You unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song. of deliverance from my enemies. Till all my fears have calmed, I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. Whoa, I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. From my mother's womb, you have chosen me. You go through my veins. I've been born again into your family. And love has called my name. Whoa, I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. Whoa, I'm no longer a slave to fear. Oh, I am a child of God. Whoa, I'm no longer a slave to fear. Oh, I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I am surrounded by the arms of the Father. By songs of deliverance, we've been liberated from our bondage. We're the sons and the daughters. Let us sing out.
Lord, we thank you so much. We thank you, Lord, that you saw fit to sacrifice your son for each and every one of us. Not that we could be something lowly, but that you called me your son, that you call us your sons and your daughters, that we could be co-heirs with Christ. Let us continue to remember the magnitude of your sacrifice, the amazing power of your grace, and the inexhaustible amount of the love that is surrounding each and every one of us at every given moment. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah, I know I'm really getting going. I started like moving. Pretty soon I was going to be in a different city, like Chelsea or something. Good morning, y'all. Good morning, my church. Thank you, Jesse, as always. You know, I want to talk this morning about being safe, about being loved, and about being given a purpose. Now, that song, see, it's getting me now. That's why it's good I don't wear eyeliner. That song gets me every time. Because in the song, I am forced to say something that sometimes I struggle to say. In the song, it forces me to say, I am a child of God. And there are a lot of times in my life where my actions didn't match that. There were other times in my life where I felt like things that were happening to me were not consistent with being a child of God. How many people believe that they are a child of God? Let's see hands. Yeah. And how many people sometimes struggle with wondering, if I'm a child of God, then why am I struggling? Yeah, yeah. My hands up. I put my leg up. We all go through this. That is normal. That is natural. But I do want you to know that God did not plan for your struggle. He didn't make that happen. That was not part of God's plan. God did not plan for your loneliness. He did not make your misery. That was not part of his plan. But how do we know that? Because the Bible got receipts. That's how we know. Jeremiah, for I know the plans I have for you, declared the Lord, plans to prosper you and not harm you. Plans to give you hope in the future. There's no sadness in that sentence. It's not planned to make you struggle for a while and then we give you hope in the future. No, God wants to change your life to make it match his plan today. We've talked about Ephesians 2:10. You are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which he planned for you to do in advance. So not only does he love me, not only does he have a plan for me, but he actually has a mission, a calling, a purpose. Wow, that's pretty cool. But you know, it gets even more specific. There's another verse in Jeremiah, and this one is what made me want to think of that song. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. God had a mission, a plan, a calling for you. Now, when people get life insurance, and I promise this is going somewhere, so follow me. We get life insurance so that we can take care of the people that we care about. So we can make sure that the people that we love are safe, and that they're loved, and that they're provided for. So today I want to talk us through chapter 17 of the book of John. And see, what's happening in chapter 17 in the book of John is that Jesus is about to be delivered to the Pharisees. He's about to go through one of the most hellish experiences that any human will experience. And what really, really gets me as I'm reading through this chapter, it's a fairly short chapter, is that in this moment, and Jesus knows what's coming. He knows it's going to be difficult. His mind goes to a few things. One, asking God to continue shining down glory on him through this tough time so that the glory will be reflected right back to him. Asking God to take care of his disciples. And then his mind goes to you. Asking God to take care of you. And so, in a sense, Jesus is taking out
a life insurance policy, or if I may be so preacher cheesy, an everlasting life insurance policy. I'm here all day. For you. He wants to make sure that you are safe. Thanks for that thumbs up. I appreciate it. It's you and my wife, and that was it. He wants to ensure that you have a purpose and a calling. He wants to ensure that you know the truth. And when he says truth, he means know the truth about who God is, know the truth about who Christ is, and know the truth about who you are. Because according to Jesus, as he says, that will bring joy. He wants you to know that you have a place with him in heaven, and best of all, that you are loved by the creator of the universe. And all this, and the only thing that he asks us to do is to believe that God is real and to believe that Jesus was sent by God. That's it. And so if you believe that God is real and you believe that Christ is his son sent for you, you're already taken care of. You're already safe. You're already loved. You're already protected. So here we start out in verse 1. Jesus says, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your son so that he can give glory back to you. For you have given him authority over everyone. He gives eternal life to each one who you have given it to. And this is the way to have eternal life. This is the instruction that he gives us. To know you, the one true God, and Jesus Christ, the one you sent. That's our job. To know God and to know Jesus. He goes forward. I brought glory to you here on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. Now, Father, bring me into the glory we shared before the world began. It's a beautiful, beautiful phrase. But here is where it turns, and he starts talking specifically about his disciples. I revealed you to the ones you gave me from this world. They were always yours. I'm going to take a quick second, and I'm going to emphasize that. You were always God's. Nothing you've done has ever changed that fact. No failure, no pain, no addiction, no hurt will ever change the fact that you were always his. And he goes further. Now they know everything I have is a gift from you, for I have passed on to them the message you gave me. They accepted it and know that I came from you, and they believe you sent me. Now here's where, you know, sometimes I love reading different translations in the Bible, because when Jesus is praying, sometimes he really gets into it. Like, you can just imagine him getting, like, kind of short of breath and, like, really, really getting into it. And, like, you know, he wants to make a really, really clear point. My prayer is not for the world. The world, this ain't for you. But for those you have given me, because they belong to you. All who are mine belong to you, and you have given them to me, so they bring me glory. Now I'm departing from the world. They are staying in the world. But I'm coming to you, Holy Father, because you have given me your name. And now I ask, and here's the protection. Now protect them by the power of your name, so that they will be united just as we are. Remember what Jesus is facing, and he wants you to be protected by his Father. It's beautiful. Now we go to chapter verse 13. Now I'm coming to you. I told them many things while I was with them in this world, so they would be filled with my joy. Remember, we talked about joy. Now, I don't want you to ever get the impression that your life is supposed to be joyless. Now, I grew up in a church where joy wasn't really part of the equation that the pastor talked about. He talked a lot about hell. Man, I know hell, like, really, really well. But he didn't tell me how to live with joy. And I love that Jesus, in this prayer, one of the final prayers that he gives as a free human on the earth, mentions your joy. I have given them your word, and the world hates them because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. I'm not asking you to take them out of the world, but to keep them safe from the evil one. They do not belong to this world any more than I do. Make them holy by your truth. Teach them your word, which is truth. And here, the truth of what God and Jesus are talking about is knowing who they are. Because when you know who Jesus is and you know who God are, it helps to clarify the issues of your own identity. Jesus's purpose on this earth was multiple, but one of the main was to sacrifice so that you would be safe, loved, and given a purpose. So when you get that truth in your heart, that's the truth that Jesus refers to that brings joy. Make them holy by your truth. Teach them your word, which is truth. Just as you sent me into the world, I am sending them into the world. And I give myself as a holy sacrifice for them so they can be made holy by your truth. Now, at this point, we're 19 verses in, and there's only 26 total, just to give you an idea. And at this point, it would be fair to say that maybe Jesus isn't talking about me. Maybe he's just talking about his disciples. Like, Freddie, where are you getting that? Verse 20. I am praying not only for these disciples, but also for all who will ever believe in me through their message. Now, we can argue about the definition of those who believe, but as soon as you believe, you are one of his disciples. And as soon as you believe, you are safe. And as soon as you believe, you are loved. And as soon as you believe, you have a mission. And that love, that protection, that mission is retroactive. Meaning that you were loved and protected your whole life from the moment that you believe. And you do have a mission and a calling. And we're going to talk about that in just a bit. So Jesus goes a little bit further. I pray that they will all be one, just as you and I are one, as you are in me, Father, and I am in you. And may they be in us so that the world will believe you sent me. I have given them the glory you gave me, so they may be one as we are one. Whoa. Now that one caused me to pause for a minute. Because it's kind of hard to imagine us right now in our society, in our political realm, being unified as one. The things we hear on TV, on radio, and the things that we say to each other in social media would seem to suggest that we're missing something about this verse. I would actually argue that the reason why there is so much discord is because something we talked about earlier, that people don't believe the truth. That they don't believe the truth of who God is, grace, love, and mercy. They don't believe that Jesus died either for them or for the person that they hate. And they don't believe that they are co-heirs with Christ and sons and daughters of God. Because when you believe those sorts of things, it starts to transform the way you think. Romans chapter 12 talks about transforming your mind. And that's what happens when Jesus gets in there and starts doing things. So as we hear this, everything is always, I want everything that we hear to always be active. Like, what can we do? Figure out where in your heart you need God to start the transformation so that we can actually be one. We can glorify that holy sacrifice and we can all unite as he prayed to God that we would. And this is a beautiful one. Father, I want these whom you have given me to be with me where I am. Then they can see all the glory you gave me because you loved me even before the world began. This is the promise of everlasting life. So in this moment, he's praying that you will be with him in heaven when this is all done. And that's absolutely amazing. But don't forget your mission. Don't forget your calling. Oh, righteous Father, the world doesn't know you, but I do, and these disciples know you sent me. I have revealed you to them, and I will continue to do so, then your love for me will be in them, and I will be in them. So he's making sure that you're loved, that you're given a purpose, that you're protected, and you're given a home in heaven. But what in the world does a mission or a calling look like for each of us? Does that mean that we're all supposed to be like T.D. Jakes, sitting up in a pulpit? That we are supposed to be someplace on a Sunday talking to someone else? Maybe. You're worthy of it. But God has a mission, a plan, and a calling that is unique to who you are. And I really, really, really want you to get this too. That just because you have a mission and a calling on your life, it doesn't have to look exactly like you would think it would look. Jesus did miracles, but you have too. So Jesus brings Lazarus back from the dead. But imagine if you have a friend or someone who is at the end of their rope. And they've been going through a really, really, really tough time. And they're like, hey, I don't know how much more of this I can do. I'm in a really dark place right now and I just need some help. And so you decide to take some time to pour into them some love. And you say, whatever comes to your heart, it's going to get better. I love you. I'm here with you. Just hang in there. So maybe you weren't actually calling Lazarus out of the tomb. But if that person who came to you with no hope leaves with hope, then you have just as well performed the miracle of saving a life. Your mission and your calling is to show love. And then let God show you the other specifics as time goes on. And there's a verse in 1 Peter chapter 2 that I absolutely love. For you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood. Yeah, y'all royal. A holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light. Because according to God, that's the only requirement you need to meet. There's no particular type of preparation. There's no pedigree. You don't have to be born into a particular family. You don't have to have a certain amount of money. You don't have to be anything except for you, because you were given this mission before you existed. You can't help but be perfect for it. You're the only one that can do it. God doesn't need plan B, and he don't have one, because you are plan A, B, C, all the way through Z. You're the only one he has, and you are the only one he needs. So stand up. Even if the circumstances you face are difficult and crippling, and I understand how that feels, stand up in the calling and the purpose and the love and the protection that God has given all of you. Because there are people who need to hear of God's goodness. There are people who need to see God's glory reflected off of your beautiful hearts. There are people who can be given hope just by seeing the masterpiece that is you. Each one of us has a ministry. I thank Jesus for his sacrifice on the cross. And that is the greatest sacrifice that could ever be made. But I must say, allowing his mind to leave the focus of what was about to happen, not giving in to the temptation of praying away the crucifixion, making it less painful, making it less difficult. He threw all that away just to make sure that you were loved, that you were safe, and that you were given a purpose. Let us pray. Lord, I thank you that you have deemed me worthy. that you have deemed me worthy for a calling and a purpose, and that you have deemed us all worthy for a calling and a purpose. And so, Lord, I ask that you beam down the Holy Spirit so hard into us that the tongues of flame that were seen in the book of Acts will be hanging over Church at the Southside for the rest of our lives and the lives of those that we are fortunate enough to share your glory with. Empower each and every one of us. Activate the Holy Spirit within each and every one of us. Change the circumstances to reflect circumstances that reflect you and not the world. We thank you, Lord, for who you are. We thank you, Lord, for who Jesus is. And through that, we thank you, Lord, for who you made us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you all. Thank you for the pain.